All right, Scott, welcome to the RMW studio. I really appreciate you made the trip into Manhattan, and we have you here live.
It's very exciting to see the Rick Watson Global headquarters here. So thank you. This is a treat.
Yeah. You know, I asked you late last week, what's on your mind? And I think one of the topics that you had on your mind was really the state of e-commerce leadership. I mean, that's definitely something we consult with our clients a lot on, which is like org design. What does the org of the future look like? How do you change yourself to get there? But you're seeing something different. I mean, you have been in the industry for a while. We both have been, as evidenced by the great hairs. What do you see happening out there for senior leaders today?
I'd say that most frequent incoming email, LinkedIn note I get is from a senior leader that is trying to find a new role or recently left a role and is trying to understand what's going on in the market. So what I'm seeing is there is a lot of existing like digital leadership within retail and brands that are sitting on the sidelines because the salaries are just not what they used to be.
Right.
I mean, I remember, you know, you could be a VP of e-commerce and it could be $600,000-$800,000 a year. I don't know how many of you, you know, you follow, you know, like Harry Joyner, and he'll put up a post for a VP of e-commerce and it's like $250,000 or something.
Yeah.
It's just there. It seems like
it's different.
It's not as valued as it used to be. And so what we're also seeing is a lot of these people are in fractional roles because they still contribute a lot of value to organizations and brands and retailers, but there just isn't an appetite to pay them what they want to make. Right. So I think there's some inherent challenges or problems with that trend.
Yeah, I definitely see. I mean, it seems like 4 or 5 years ago, we definitely saw kind of coming into, even before COVID, but definitely coming into COVID, a lot of store-based retail leaders trying to find their foothold in the digital realm, which create a lot of competition for a very small amount of jobs. And some of them made it and some of them, you know, I think didn't make the transition, but this is something different. I mean, previously I saw like the director roles kind of being hollowed out, meaning like you had VPs and then you had managers and then contributors. It almost feels to me like there's another level even now removed, such that there does seem to be the C-suite still around, but then it's just a lot of people that are new to the industry. Like they've never been in e-com before.
Well, and how many people in that C-suite, like I'd say it's pretty frequently that it's a CMO that has ownership of digital and P&L. Mm-hmm. And are they a brand building kind of person or do they have a digital background? What is their background? I think
you're so right.
The digital strategy, the people that were in this earlier when it was still being figured out and you were learning constantly, it's just a different mindset. There's an innovative mindset and I worry that it's not there as much as it should be right now.
Yeah. You know, it's almost like we've definitely, I would say in the more forward-thinking organizations, kind of seen the flip where we used to see the CMOs that were more brand and creative forward. You know, like the art over the science. And now it seems like the leadership has shifted to move sort of like digital tech science forward and hire in for the brand. Like that's the director level, not the VP level anymore in these organizations, which, and I think all these fractional roles and these senior leaders on the sidelines, what has that meant for innovation in the industry?
Well, that's the issue. When you look at, there's this existential threat right now with agentic and AI and LLMs. And is it going to be the outside consultant that is going to establish a bold strategy and execute it? I don't know that they have the political capital. They have, you know, the ability, you know, I think they're important that they will help whoever is on the inside to do that and give them some cover and so on. But I think you need an insider that is going to take the lead on that and is going to take risks and be innovative. And that's what worries me is what's missing right now.
Yeah. And I think it's so well put. Even in my own consulting work, I tell people, like, look, if you look at a RACI diagram, responsible, accountable, consult, and influences, the consultant is by definition the C, right? And so I tell my clients that all the time, like, in 2 years, we're not going to be here. And as a result, you guys need to take ownership of this thing from a change, like, we can help you from the change management point of view. I do think there's another level of consultant. And you've seen it in your history. I know we're both friends with a lot of folks in, like, Chameleon Collective or Chief, or, you know, some of these agencies that come in, they're like interim CMO. And that could be a 1-2, sometimes even 3 years role, this interim CMO role. You can transition a brand from, like, where they are to a new place as an insider, but still is kind of like a hybrid outsider. But you can't have three roles like that. You can't be like a part-time interim CMO for a major brand.
Right. Yeah, you have to have some skin in the game.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think that's a challenge. I also think that's tenure has become a challenge. I mean, look, CMOs have always been like a limited shelf life. You know, we talk about the National Football League and football, like, you know, stands for not for long. I think that's like the informal motto of the CMO. I think that's hurt brand strategy, but then this sort of interim thing seems to sort of doubly hurt innovation. Is there an angle where this is just kind of okay? Are we just old? I mean, is this sort of what's supposed to happen? You're going to get, you know, most of the folks in the industry that grew up with are now kind of mid to late career, and they're like, they're not looking to run as hard as they did 20 years ago.
Well, yes, we are old. I'm old. You're less old.
I'm pretty old.
Well, I suppose, I mean, what are the trends with, like, the Fortune 500, how much it turns over more quickly?
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose that's what we're just going to see, is there's going to be a new generation of brands and retailers that were born out of some of that innovation, but for some of the existing ones to transition themselves and stay relevant and successful, I think that's a bigger challenge if they don't have the right people internally. They're going to lead that charge.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, people, process, technology, people is by far the most important. But if you get that wrong, everything else after that gets wrong. So I think that's well said. And while I have you here, from the Cyber Monday master himself, certainly one of the corners of the realm, what was your read on Cyber Monday? It seems like the vibes were positive.
Yeah, it seems like they're positive. I don't see anyone really complaining or upset. We have the Commerce Next holiday parties this week. So that's always what I do, is walk around and say, how's it going? And inevitably, it's always a mix, right? You're going to hear some people that are killing it and some people that, you know, are drinking more than they should because it wasn't so good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it definitely seems like the big are getting bigger. You know, the Amazons and the Walmarts, it seems like TikTok Shop had a good holiday. Agentic is going to seem like it had a great holiday because it's coming from such a small base, right? Namely Xero. But others are signaling softness. Macy's, you know, although it seems like they had the best quarter in 6 or 8 quarters, they're flat to slightly. They're still like not on a growth footing. From the Target, kind of same story.
Which isn't all that different from what was being said about those companies and the whole
The whole year.
The whole year. So
totally. I actually think Holiday was very consistent. I was really impressed that with Doug McMillon in at Walmart, his call a few months ago, right after back to school. He's like, Holiday follows back to school. If we have a good back to school, always at Walmart, we have a good holiday. Walmart had a good holiday. So
well, I think the bigger concerns, the economic concerns of where price is too high because of tariffs is the consumer spending not healthy where it needs to be. And I think we didn't see real challenges in those major economic indicators.
Yeah.
With, you know, people were shopping. Maybe they're a little more price sensitive. You know, maybe their habits have changed a little bit, but they're still out there spending money.
Yeah. People were out there spending money, particularly on the places that they think they're getting value and convenience. And I think the people that are not delivering that, I think they are suffering a little bit. And some of them, to Macy's point, to Target's point, they're blaming the consumer at least a little bit, even though the consumer for the good brand seems to be shopping. Is that fair? Or
I mean, when you're not doing well, you're always blaming something, right?
Right.
I mean,
the weather
is like the most, you know, oh God, the weather is horrible. So,
right.
It seems like an excuse.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. This has been great. Scott, I appreciate you coming in and recording this. Certainly come back every time you're just over the river. So thanks again for coming in.
Thanks. Glad to talk about these things.
Awesome. Thanks so much.